Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today's Thursday, the day we try to apply and live out what we've been learning all week. This week, we're looking at how God is holy. We've learned about that through two passages in the Bible. We looked at the Ten Commandments, the laws that a holy God gave to a people whom he wanted to see as his holy people. And we read the story of a man, Prophet Isaiah, who found himself in a vision of God's presence filling the temple around him, and his overwhelming reaction was one of fear and trembling, realizing he was in the presence of a holy God and that he, Isaiah, was anything but holy and perfect. Being in God's holiness revealed to Isaiah his unholiness and imperfection, and the unholiness and imperfection of the whole world. As Isaiah said, I come from an unclean people. He's realized that his people have not upheld their side of God's covenant and God's plan. God was gracious and generous to them. They were given laws, ways to live, to give thanks for that. They haven't lived in those ways. He realizes he knew the Ten Commandments. God knows that he knows the Ten Commandments. God knows that his people know the Ten Commandments, much less all the other laws. And he knows that they also know they are inadequate and unholy, broken and sinful. And this might sound hopeless. This might sound like they have no hope, but they do. Because here's what happened next. After Isaiah was standing there shaking in his boots saying, "How can I be here? How am I surviving this experience?" Something happens. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" We know that we can't make ourselves holy and perfect and sinless again. We've tried, we've failed, maybe you've tried and failed. But what we see in the story is that God can do it. God, through this angelic messenger, comes and atones for Isaiah's sins. Now there's another word you don't hear very often, atone. What does that mean? It means that he makes it one. He brings back together two things that were separated. A holy God, an unholy people. He has now atoned them. He makes them one. To do that, he has to destroy what was separating them. And as it says here, he atoned for Isaiah's sin. He dealt with the sin that was separating God and humanity. Well, he did it for Isaiah here, but he's going to do it for all of humanity too. This isn't just a story about hope for Isaiah, who somehow magically gets his sin taken away and leaves the rest of us feeling hopeless. No, this is the story about God showing us what he will do for the entire world. God did it for Isaiah, and he did it again for all of us. For all of humanity, God came to earth as Jesus Christ, and he atoned for our sins. In events that had a lot of references to the Day of Atonement, a special day in Israel's year when their sins would be atoned for once a year, every year, Jesus atoned for all the sins of all of humanity for all time. He took our sin, all of us, for all of us, took it to the cross, and sacrificed himself there. God's Son, perfect and holy as he was, came to our imperfect, unholy, broken world so he could save us. It's all consistent with God's character, right? The God who saved Israel saves us. The God who saved Israel and then gave them a way to become holy now makes a way for everyone to become holy. He wants to make us clean and acceptable to God, a holy God, even when we aren't. Now that doesn't mean that the minute somebody decides to follow Jesus and gives their heart to him and surrenders to him, that they're suddenly made perfect. Too many people think that's what churches are, is people pretending to be perfect. That's not true. This is about God making us holy. It's not about us making ourselves holy and then celebrating that at church. This is about God making us holy, and it's a process. It starts with somebody handing their life over to Jesus and saying, "I can't make myself perfect and holy and acceptable to God. I want to know the God who created me, but I can't with this sin standing in the way." And so that's when somebody asks Jesus to destroy that sin in their lives, to take it with him to the cross, destroy its power over them, so they can know God once again, a holy God, a perfect God, even though we're not. Now that doesn't instantly make somebody perfect and holy and sinless. But it means that God is already seeing the finished product. He sees a perfect, holy, sinless person, even though we are still in the making. He sees what we're going to become in his kingdom, and he sees that we're journeying towards that with him, and that we're getting there through Jesus' power, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, not through our own religiosity. If you've ever struggled with trying to be perfect and holy and religious and you've failed, you're not alone. Every human being who's ever tried to make themselves perfect and holy through religion has failed. But thankfully, that's where Jesus comes in, where you can turn to Him and say, "You do this for me. You are the only human being who is actually perfect, who's actually holy. Would you make me holy too, since I can't do it myself?" And that's what He does. He makes it possible for us to have a relationship with a holy God once again, because He is that holy God who's come to be one of us, to live that perfect life we couldn't, and then He sacrificed, giving it up for us. That's what Jesus does, and He can do it for you if you simply ask Him, if you simply pray to Him and you say, "Would you atone for my sins too? Would you reconnect me to a holy and perfect God, even though I recognize that is not who I am at all?" And then, if you've already said that prayer, or you just did now, then that's when God starts to work on you. From the inside out, His Holy Spirit comes and starts to transform you in what we call sanctification. Justification is where God starts to see you as innocent and sinless, even though you aren't, but He declares you to be justified anyway. And then sanctification is when God starts to actually make you that way. He starts to purify and transform your life to be perfect and holy and sinless. So when you arrive at His kingdom, that is who you will be. It's okay if it's not who you are today, but pray for it. Ask the Holy Spirit to do that in you, to sanctify you, make you holy, so that when you do fail, when you do sin, you'll learn to repent and return to the Lord, rather than just wallow in self-pity and saying, "Oh, I'm inadequate, I can't do this." God sees you now as adequate. He sees you as justified in His eyes, and now He wants to work with you to actually make you what He already sees you to be. So here's your challenge for today. How do you feel unholy or inadequate in this life? Where do you feel like a failure? What's standing between you and God's plan for your life, God's identity for you, a good, perfect, holy relationship with Him? What stands in the way? Now ask Jesus to atone for that, for those sins, and to reconnect you with a holy God. And then ask the Holy Spirit to transform your life to become more and more holy. Think about where the disconnects are between you and a holy God right now, and ask specifically for God's help in transforming those areas of your life. So that's your challenge for this week. I'll see you tomorrow as we pray and reflect about that, or next week as we move into our next topic in our God Is series. Bye for now.